So we began the day with talking about action, that in the end, the connection to the heart is made when we take action, or it reaches its full form. The connection that we make to the heart leads to happiness when we take action. The Buddha said that our happiness is dependent on our actions. It's dependent on what we do. That's what determines whether or not we move towards suffering or towards happiness. It's our actions. If you take actions that are motivated by unskillful intention, aversion, and desire, that moves us towards suffering. If we take actions that are motivated by skillful intention, love and compassion, loving kindness and compassion, that leads us towards happiness. So, in the end, the goal of the practice is to take action, to take skillful action, to take action that's informed by the heart, to take action that's informed by loving kindness and compassion. That's the fruition of the practice, just like that was the fruition of the Buddha's practice. He didn't just become enlightened, he took those actions, taught the Dharma for 45 years. So, we have the idea that we're going to take action. We may want to take skillful action. We may want to connect to the heart and develop the heart, but it's not so easy, we find. It's not so easy to find, we find. There's barriers that we come up against. We come up against the barriers to the heart. Much of Dharma practice is about working with the barriers, right? Is about taking down the barriers. If we don't do that, we're not going to be able to connect to the heart. The Buddha talked about this as being a practice of abandoning and cultivating. We abandon the barriers to the heart, really the aversion and the desire, and we cultivate the heart. We cultivate metta and compassion. So today's day long was really about cultivating, right? It was about cultivating the heart, cultivating the qualities of loving kindness and compassion, taking those qualities and learning how to inform our action with loving kindness and compassion. But much of the practice is about working with the barriers. One very broad way to think about what the barriers to the heart is what's known as dukkha or suffering. That's really what dukkha is. Dukkha is the mental affliction that prevents us from taking skillful action. That's really how the Buddha described it. His awakening was seeing that life is this process of intention and action and results, and that if our actions, that was the first insight he had, and that second was, if our actions are informed by love and compassion, this will move us towards happiness. And then his third insight was, it's really hard for us to do that because the mind is afflicted and the heart is cut off. That's really what the Four Noble Truths are about. This is why we suffer, because the heart is blocked off and we're not able to take skillful action. So much of what we learn to do in this practice is to abandon suffering, which is really about holding on, abandoning or not holding on to aversion and desire. If it's the feelings of aversion and the feelings of desire, all their subsets, anxiety and dissatisfaction and worry and all those things, or if it's the aversion and desire to the way the body feels or other sense experiences that we have. I mean, that's the heart of letting go of that affliction, is to let go of that aversion and desire. The Buddha described it, letting go of the pain that we come to know from grieving over being separated from what's dear to us and joined with what isn't dear to us. Aversion and desire, wanting and not wanting, disliking and liking. So the way suffering ultimately manifests is three ways. One is we find ourselves, it manifests in not being present, right? Not being present by either chasing after sense experience, right? So we're chasing after all the different kinds of sense experiences, the sense pleasures. It manifests in being in the head, lost in thought, in our narratives, and really chasing after sense experience. Largely what that's about is being in a narrative, because so much of what happens when we're chasing after sense experience is we're in a story about the sense experience, right? About what's going to be on the phone or what's going to be on TV or what's in the refrigerator. The third way that suffering manifests is just checking out, right? Just checking out. So we're not present, basically, is what it comes down to. And really this state of being in the head, like I talked about, right? In the stories, in the narratives, in the thoughts of past and future, in the thoughts of what we want and don't want, liking and disliking. This is where we tend to live, you know, and it's a very painful place. The Buddha said, you know, it's a very painful place, and yet we delight in all these stories and narratives and thoughts. That's sort of the definition of ignorance. So in the practice, we learn to move beyond these barriers, right? We learn to move beyond these barriers, to let go of aversion and desire. And like I was saying before, it's a little bit less aversion and desire, right? We're cutting down on the amount of holding on that we do. And less thinking, right? And that really that leads to less thinking. We also work on the thinking in and of itself so that we're less and less in the narrative, in the thought world, not present. I mean, it's the first thing we teach in a beginner's class, right? Mind wanders, bring it back. Mind wanders, bring it back. Mind wanders, bring it back to the present. Really hard to do. You know, and if that's all you're doing, it's going to be really hard to stay present. There's a lot of other things that we need to do in order to be able to keep the mind on the breath. We talked about some of those today. So as we work with the barriers, we're less in the head, and we're more in the body. We're more in the body. Because in order to be able to connect to the heart, we need to be in the body, like I said. We come into the body so that we can be present, so that we can be in the heart. When you're lost in thought, when you're not present, you're away from the heart. There's a barrier there to the heart. So we make this effort to come to the breath, to come to the body. Cultivating the easeful breath and the easeful abiding in the body really support us in our efforts to get into the body and thus into the heart. So the less we are caught up in our aversion and desire, there's less thinking, we're less in the head, we're more in the body, and we're more in the heart. I mean, that's really the practice, and it's a process, right? Little by slowly, more and more, we're with the breath, we're in the body, we're in the heart. We're with the breath, we're in the body, we're in the heart. More and more, we're connected to the heart. And because of that, more and more, we can take action that comes from the heart. I've already spoken to how we can begin to start in this practice to take action that is skillful and that ostensibly comes from the heart by following some of the suggestions for action that the Buddha gives us. So the first thing he says is practice generosity. This is a way that you can begin to learn to connect to the heart. Now, of course, generosity has to be done skillfully, right? You can give in a way that's begrudging or not really wanting to give, or give in a way that you're trying to get something in return. Although what most of the teachers would say is, you know, if you give, there's some benefit from that. You're starting to move away from just grabbing and holding on. So we begin to start to connect to the heart, you know, in the simplest way. The Buddha said, look, it's going to be really hard to get into the breath and into the body. You know, that's going to be really hard. You have to do that eventually because you want to live in here, but it's going to be hard. The easiest way that you can begin to get a sense of what loving kindness is like and action informed by loving kindness is like is start to practice generosity and start to practice non-harming. Follow the precepts. Don't kill, don't steal, don't engage in illicit sex. Speak skillfully. Don't take intoxicants that cause you to act unskillfully. And, you know, from there, then we really start to be, and that's a beginning. So we're coming more into the body, more into the breath. We're starting to get a sense of what it is to act with love and with compassion. And as we get more into the body and more into the heart, then we can really start to look at skillful action and take more skillful action. So, you know, in the way that we relate to others, like I told the story about my grandmother. you know. Or one of the stories I always like is one of my students years ago came to me, and she had two young kids, and you know, they were giving her a hard time as young kids. Well, you know, nothing out of the ordinary, but you know, they were challenging, and she was getting angry at them a lot, you know, and she was kind of bereft, really. I'm getting angry at my kids, and what should I do? And I said, well, first thing you got to do is you got to open up to your anger and start to acknowledge that your anger is there. I was like, how can I do that? I shouldn't. Well, you have to start to let go of it, and by opening up to it, you can let go of it. So do that, and then learn to cultivate skillful intention. So when you're about to be with your kids or talk to your kids, remind yourself that you want to relate to them with compassion. You want to relate to them with loving kindness. You know. So I gave her that instruction. She came back a week later, and she said, it worked. I can't believe it worked. All I did was say that to myself, and all of a sudden, I was relating to my kids differently. So that's that power of fabrication, that power of intention. So we learn as we get more and more present to be on the pause button, right? And before we act, we ask, is this going to be an action that's coming out of loving kindness? We're more connected to what that means because we're more connected to the heart. And we're also able to discern, you know, if actions are coming out of aversion or desire. So the more we get into the body and more we get into the heart, we're able to begin to develop this quality of discernment so that we can look at our actions, if it's with regards to others, or the actions that we take with regards to ourselves. You know, it could be as simple as like what I talked about before. Should I take this job? Well, it's really coming out of just wanting not to say no so that people don't like me. You know, I'm afraid people, they're not going to like me or they're going to reject. You know, it's like, what would be the most loving thing? Well, the most loving thing would be to say no because, you know, my schedule's full. I can't do all of this. So gradually we learn to take that kind of skillful action more and more and more. More and more we take action that's in support of our wish to be happy. We're able to discern. This quality of discernment is actually called heedfulness, you know, and that's how we change our lives, is by being heedful, paying attention to our actions, and looking and seeing, are the actions that we're about to take coming out of love, or what actions do I need to take that are coming out of love, loving kindness, metta. The semantic, again, is important. You know, one story that my teacher likes to tell, and I like to tell, is, you know, the Buddha's last words, continue to be heedful. Continue to be heedful. Now, and the interesting part of that story is there was a large group of monks there, and they were they were all stream enterers, which is like the first level of enlightenment, stream entry. But they still had to watch their actions. They wanted to purify their actions. They wanted to, you know, in order to move further along, you still had to watch their actions. All these beings were very highly evolved. If they wanted to become more evolved, continue to watch your actions. Continue to pay attention to your actions. Because even at that level, there may be things that you're doing that aren't in support of your heart and your awakening and finding a greater happiness. So it's the most important thing to pay attention to our actions and see if they're coming from love and compassion. What actions do we need to take that are coming from love and compassion? So, you know, the practices that we're doing today, letting go of the barriers, being more in the breath, more in the body, and more connected to the heart. And remember, the heart is our innate wisdom, this knowing place, the one who knows inside of you. And as you take actions that come from here, you know what those actions are. That's why it's so useful to develop the skill in the meditation, to begin to learn to see, is this meditation coming out of aversion or resistance? Or can I put that to the side and cultivate love and compassion and meditate out of love and compassion? And what's it like when I do that, and seeing how to do that and seeing the results and the benefits of doing that? I mean, that's really where we begin. So as we become more connected, we're able to discern, we see the way to happiness, and we take it. Because that quality of love in the heart is what gives us the strength. You know, the question was asked before, well, if I'm in the heart all the time, aren't I going to be weak and just, you know, accepting of everything? So, no, this is your greatest strength. This is your greatest strength. Not only is it your greatest strength, but it's the antidote to fear. So you're able, as I said before, to move ahead from this place with love and move past fear. If you think about all the great things that have ever been done in the history of man, they've all been done out of love. They've all been done out of loving kindness. And that's what we're seeking to do, is that our actions in our lives are out of love, not out of fear, not out of aversion, not out of desire. Because that's the way to happiness, to take those actions. So developing this connection to the heart is in the service of taking those actions. One of the ways that I like to think about this, taking action, being heedful of our actions, is looking at the decisions that we make. Looking at the decisions. I mean, I gave an example of the decision, should I take this assignment? Every day we're making decisions. Sometimes they're big decisions, like a lot of times they're small decisions. Should I go to the retreat today over at New York Insight, or should I do something else, right? I mean, you guys made a decision based on, this is going to be good for me. This is going to be in support of the heart. That was, I think, a wise decision, you know? I always say this, you know, because we do, in our group, we do a day-long retreat every month. And I don't mean this to be critical. We usually have a nice turnout, but we could have a better turnout, you know? And a lot of times, sometimes it comes down to really viable things, but usually it comes down to, do I want to do something that maybe is more of an expression of engaging in some kind of sense pleasure or whatever, or do I want to do this practice which is going to support me in my ability to find a greater happiness in my life? I mean, those are the kinds of questions that we have to ask as we make decisions. I mean, it's the decision you have to make every day when you sit down to meditate, right? We talked about that, you know? What am I going to do right now? Am I going to listen to the radio? I'm really dating myself. Am I going to listen to the radio, or am I going to spend the next half hour meditating? You know? Now, we'll just act out on our past karma and listen to the radio or watch the TV or not meditate unless we see, okay, there's a desire to do something else. Can I put that to the side? And out of love, meditate. And those are just some simple, you know, I mean, on the most microscopic level, it's thoughts arise in the mind in the meditation about something that seems important about, you know, 4th of July from 3 years ago, you know, and, you know, the mind starts to chase after it. Ultimately, the question is, what's the most loving thing for me to do? Chase after that thought or come back to the breath? And that's actually what you have to learn to do in meditation. That's, my teacher taught me that, and it completely changed my meditation. Not just to let thoughts come and go, but really look, what are the consequences of chasing after the thought? That's a mental action. What are the consequences of chasing after that thought on the street as I'm walking down the street and I'm judging another person that I see? What are the consequences of taking that action in terms of my heart, in terms of my day, in terms of my life? What would be the more loving thing to do? Now, those are the kinds of decisions that we learn to make. You know, we really understand the importance of making those decisions that come from the heart once we start to do it and start to pay attention and start to understand the consequences of those decisions. So every day there's decisions that we're making, and we have to be heedful. We have to consider our decisions. I mean, really, you're going either towards suffering or away from suffering. You're either taking an action that's coming from the heart or not. I mean, I've said this before, and I've talked to my teacher about it, and he said, well, sometimes, you know, it's just like you're just going to the subway, you know? But it's like, we all know, we can go to the subway with aversion or love, you know? So, you know, many of the decisions that we're making in the course of a day are really important, because we're either moving towards suffering or away from suffering. You know, and those little decisions may not seem that important, but they are, because they have long-term consequences. And then the big decisions, you know, I mean, that's our life. Those are the things we do. So we strive to take action informed by loving kindness in support of the wish to be happy, in support of our wish to be happy, in support of what we need to do to fulfill our wish to be happy. So ultimately, we learn self-love. We learn to take actions in our life that are in support of our hearts. I mean, I never knew how to do that. I mean, basically what I did in my life was what I saw other people doing, or what the culture said, this is the way to true happiness, you know? So how would I know? Nobody taught me. You know, I never knew how to look and see whether actions were actions of self-love. I mean, I wanted to take actions of self-love. I didn't know how to do that, and I didn't know what that meant. And we had good questions about that today. So once we start to be able to connect and start to take those kinds of actions, we start to understand what those actions are. And we begin to look and we begin to see, are the actions I'm taking in support of the heart, in support of my wish to be happy? You know, the day-to-day decisions, but also the way that we live our lives. I mean, I always like to think of this in terms of living from the heart, which in a lot of ways what means, you know, living in the question. You know, we tend to live in the head and try to figure out what we should do. You know, but when you live in the head, the problem with that is, you know, what's in the head is just conditioned. It's what you've thought before. So you're just going to continue to do the same thing. So we want to live in the heart, but, well, what is the heart telling us, you know? And, you know, we have to begin to come into the heart and just see where the heart is guiding us, you know? So it's not something that's intellectual, right? It's something that transcends this intellectual sphere. It's down in here. So what we learn to do is live in the question. That's how you begin to connect into the heart and your innate wisdom, is by asking questions, but not trying to answer them. You know, everybody wants to answer the question, but you ask the questions and let the heart show you. At first, this is really hard to do because we don't really trust, so we go back into the thinking. But gradually, more and more, you learn to do this. You live in the question, what's in support of my wish to be happy? What actions do I need to take going forward in my life that are in support of my wish to be happy? What's the most loving and compassionate actions for me to take? Yeah, and that's where we live from those questions, you know, in terms of, you know, the broader arc of our lives and the day-to-day actions that we take. We don't act from the head, from the heart. I learned this years ago, in a very simple way, from Ajahn Amaro, Thai monk, British monk who studies in the, who is a monk in the Thai tradition. He's the abbot at Amravati now. Amravati? Yeah. And he used to say, you know, when you try to figure things out with a thinking mind, it's like a Chinese menu. It's like pros and cons, column A, column B. And it never, because the mind is likes and dislikes, so it never, you can never really figure out what to do by trying to figure it out. He said, come out of the head and just ask the heart what direction you need to go in, what direction you need to take, what you need to do. You know, that's the skill. I mean, you know, we can do that, but we can get to the point where we can do that in a way where we have real keen discernment and this connection to the heart is really strong. But when people come to me, you know, and I learned years ago, you know, pretty much never to give people advice. When people sometimes will come to me and like, should I get divorced? Should I go to college? Should I do this? Should I do that? And, you know, what I tell them to do or encourage them to do is not to think about it. You know, not to think about it. Try to put the thoughts to the side. Stay in the body, stay in the heart, and live in the question. You know? And it works. You know, it works. Invariably, people, because you know what to do. You know exactly what to do. You know exactly what you do in order to be happy. It's in the heart. I mean, in the heart, you know what to do. It's about connecting to what you know, the one who knows that's inside of you. So, you know, for some, at first, that's kind of hard to do, is like, what action should I take that's in support of the heart? But as you start to do it more and more, I've been doing it for years, it's like, I don't even want to think at all about, when I have a really important decision to make, this is the last place I want to be. This is the last, because I know, it's like, this isn't where I'm going to find, the answer is in here. You know, so you really develop this trust in what's inside, in what's in the heart. So this is our practice. So this is our practice. We live from the heart. We live in the question. And the heart will show us the way. The heart will show us the way to happiness. This is the way to happiness. So what I'd like to do is just take the last 5 minutes or so, and we'll just do a reflection, another one more reflection on the heart, but this will be joy. So it's a little bit of that different quality. This is the quality of the heart that responds to goodness. So it has a little bit of a different flavor to it. The idea is you reflect on your blessings, beginning with the blessing of your goodness and then the goodness around you in the world. I'll take you through it, and then you feel gratitude, and that leads to the feeling of joy in the heart. So, let's close our eyes. And the quality of joy really is the quality of appreciation or appreciative joy. We appreciate our goodness and the goodness around us. So feeling the breath. Coming into the body. And coming into the heart. So reflecting on our blessings, beginning with the blessing of our own goodness, our generosity. You can think about your generosity either in a specific or a general way, the way that you practice non-harming, and the effort that you make to train the mind, to have a mind with less aversion and desire, to have a more open heart. So we can reflect on the blessing of our goodness as it's been expressed in coming here today. Can we acknowledge that being here today and seeing this day through and doing this work, which isn't always so easy, can we acknowledge that this is an expression of our goodness, that we've made this effort, we have this goodness, and we've made an effort to cultivate it? Can we see the blessing in this goodness that as a human being we've been bestowed with and take joy in it? And think about all the things that you've done, if it's meditation or spiritual practice or therapy or whatever you've done to have a mind with more love, a heart with more open. This is the greatest expression of our goodness, the Buddha said. Can we reflect on the blessing of the beings in our lives that have supported us in developing our goodness? We can't develop our goodness on our own. We need others to be there for us, to teach us, and to support us as we make the effort. So we've all had beings that have supported us, maybe people who are supporting us in being here today, family or friends, other beings that have supported us in our lives in terms of our efforts to find a greater happiness, if it's teachers or friends or family. Reflecting on the blessing of these beings, can we have gratitude? Can you touch into that feeling of joy in the heart? You can reflect on the blessing of the Buddha and the monks and the nuns who've passed on this practice for the last 2,600 years, all the other laymen and laywomen who've continued to practice and have passed on the Dharma, reflecting on the blessing of the beings in this room who've supported us today in being here, allowing their goodness to shine, bringing joy to our hearts. Reflecting on the blessing of the Dharma, the teachings of the Buddha that really provide us with skills that offer us a way out of our suffering and into the heart and to a true happiness in this life. The blessing of life itself. The life, human life is extraordinarily precious and rare and affords us an opportunity to awaken, to know true happiness. It's considered a very fortunate birth into this life. So can we reflect on the blessing, the preciousness of life? We all too often look at life and see the negatives, but can we for a moment appreciate the goodness in life and take joy? So may we all be happy of heart. May we all be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May we all be healthy and strong. May we all live with ease. May all beings be happy of heart. May they be safe and protected. May they be healthy and strong. May all beings live with ease. Thank you guys for a great day. This is really a joy to be here, really a pleasure. I really appreciate everybody's participation and being here and wholeheartedness. So thank you guys all so much.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.